Today's reading is one of those much-loved readings, isn't it? You know, one of the reasons I like the lectionary is because you get these famous passages coming out on regular intervals. So this passage, of course, the lectionary is every 3 years, comes out every 3 years. It's also one of those ones that's always rolled out in kids' church. You know, that famous song, you know, build your house on the rock and it will stand. They love it. And it's a good reminder. It's a good song. It's good teaching. And I'd be surprised if you haven't heard through the years this passage numerous times. But I think there's a really good reason why that happens. You see, because there's a warning in this passage that we need to be constantly reminded of. You see, to me, it's a bit like going bushwalking. Now, I love going bushwalking. When I was at Bourne High, I used to put my hand up all the time whenever I could go on a trip. But bushwalking in particular was something I really enjoyed. One of my favourite places to go bushwalking is around a place called Cathedral Mountains. It's a beautiful spot northeast of Melbourne between Alexander and Marysville. Some of you will know the area. It's fabulous. It's so pretty. But when you're walking in this area, especially when you're walking up the top of the mountains, it can get a little bit confusing. There's a lot of little tracks going off here, there and everywhere. And especially if there's a bit of fog around, or low cloud or whatever. Fortunately, not heaps of rain, but so it's easy to take the wrong track. It's very easy to wander off up there. The danger, of course, if you wander off, there's a lot of really steep falls and cliffs. So it's quite risky. But what they've done along the trail is they've put these little markers in along the track. And when you get to one marker, you can sort of see the next mark, and you get to that mark and you can see the next mark. So it's really easy to walk up there. In fact, I've gone up there without a map, and it's so easy. That was broad daylight, nice, sunny, beautiful day. I'm not too sure if I would have done it in the fog. Well, I think that this story about Jesus in Matthew's Gospel is one of those trail markers, is one of those markers for us, just like bushwalking. If you want to follow me, I'm just going to quickly go through Matthew just to give you an overview of why I think this is such an important mark of this passage. So here we are on page 789 of the Pew Bible, chapter 7, verse 28. Matthew records Jesus using the phrase 28. That's chapter 8, Roy. That would have been a bad one to use. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, I want you to remember that phrase. Now, when Jesus had finished saying those things, very unremarkable sentence, yeah? Doesn't really mean much. But now, if we go to page three chapters later and page 792... chapter 11, verse 1, now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12, to me is another marker, is another trail marker. Page 795, chapter 13, verse 53, when Jesus had finished these parables, when Jesus had finished speaking again. Page 800, chapter 19, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying these things. And finally, this is our summit. Page 808, Matthew 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things. So these are moments within Matthew's gospel. Five moments where Matthew sees what Jesus says matters. Now I want you to think about, is there another five lots of teaching in the Bible? Well, if we look back to the Old Testament, the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch, traditionally written by Moses. Now I want you to remember that Moses is writing to a Jewish audience. You get the feeling here that Moses is trying to say to this audience that Jesus is like Moses, only better. I think it's really important, is that why Matthew also records Jesus saying, these words of mine. These words of mine. You can just imagine, you know, the people listening. You see, that was outrageous. One of the things we forget about Jesus is Jesus was outrageous, all right? In his culture, he was just like, man, you are out of control. He would say all sorts of things. We look at it and we put our nice, comfortable Western Jesus goggles on and read it and from a viewpoint of post-resurrection, and we don't get that sense of Jesus' outrageousness. You see, the scribes would never have claimed Scripture as their words, their teaching. They would just regurgitate teaching. They never took on these words of mine. So it's no wonder that those listening were amazed at Jesus' authority. This story about building houses at the end of a long sermon, and it comes with great warning. You know, Jesus was a great preacher. And I guess a lot of people would have gone just to hear him speak. I'm sure we do that. I'm sure in your profession and whatever you're doing in your industry, there are great speakers. To be honest, I have my favourites. You know, N.T. Wright is one of my favourite preachers. Tim Keller, another one of favourite. And of course, Nicky Gumbel. How can you go past Nicky Gumbel? Great preachers. But Jesus gives this warning. And it's really clear. Listening to Jesus is not just about hearing the message and leaving it without doing anything about it. Doing what Jesus says or not doing, this is what makes a difference between the houses. Whether their houses will stand or whether they'll fall. But we might miss what those listening to Jesus probably heard because we weren't there, we weren't part of the culture. But I want to point out that at the time when Jesus was delivering the sermon, on the other side of the valley in Jerusalem, an easy 100-kilometre walk to them at the time, Herod was rebuilding the temple. So this passage about building houses and building on rock would have meant far more to them. You see, Herod's temple was also going to be built on rock. It was going to be able to stand all the elements of the time. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It would have been so much more cultural to the people listening because they knew what was going on in Jerusalem. It would have been an easy jump for the listeners to see what Jesus was doing here. The temple was where God would dwell. Well, you remember a few weeks ago when I was speaking at Pentecost, when I spoke about the change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. No longer was God going to dwell in holy places. No, the Holy Spirit was going to dwell within us, the new temple. In Jesus' last sermon, in Matthew 24, he gives this warning about Herod's temple, doesn't he? What are the words? Not one stone will be left or hair upon another. So much for withstanding the elements, eh? By contrast, though, what I found really interesting was in Matthew 16, 18. Jesus makes a statement to Peter. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church. What rock? Peter? No, I don't think so. Jesus isn't talking about building his church on Peter. We just have to go back a bit about what Peter had just said, his statement of faith about who Jesus was, that Jesus was the Messiah. Believing in Jesus as Messiah, Saviour and Redeemer. That's what Jesus was going to build his church on. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? But it made me think about what are we doing? What are we doing? You see, Jesus doesn't call us to just read the Bible. Jesus doesn't call us just to attend church, to sing great songs, to hear reasonably average sermons. He calls us to be out doing, doesn't he? His words are encouraging us to get out there and do what Jesus said. So it made me think about what sort of building are we doing? Jesus' words? Or are we just reading them and hearing them and thinking, wow, Jesus was awesome? Last week I was watching the TV and, you know, I really like the motor neurone disease, the slide in the ice, something I would never do. That would be the end of me with my condition. So anyway, but I like seeing other galahs do it. And during that, they showed a snippet of Neil Danaher's sermon. Oh, well, not his sermon. He's talked, basically it was a sermon. Basically, he's talked to the players. And he quoted Aesop, didn't he? He said, after all is said and done, more is said than done. And it made me think just how much does this fit into what we're talking about when we talk about Jesus? Neil Danaher went on to challenge the Melbourne players that it's all right to sit there before the game or during the week or half time or whatever it is when the coaches are there saying all this stuff and the players get around, rah, rah, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. A lot is said in the changing room. I know that for a fact because I tell you, I said a lot of things I was going to do when I got out in the field and, you know, sometimes my body couldn't cash the checks my mind would write. But Neil Danaher challenged his players, challenged the Melbourne players not to just listen to the words. And he said to them, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, they rallied, didn't they? Half time, I reckon the coach must have, in the rooms at half time, he must have reeled that back out and said to the players, remember this guy? Remember what he said? Because the game changed. Melbourne won. What a shame. Love Collingwood supporters. But without actions, without doing something, Neil Danaher's words meant nothing. Likewise, when we look at Jesus' words, when we look at what Jesus said, doing Jesus' words is what it's about. Doing nothing is not an option. We can't say that we're followers of Jesus and just listen to what he said. Jesus calls us to follow him, follow, action, get up, move, not sit there and listen. And when it all said is done, what are we going to do? What words this week, what words of Jesus this week are we going to be doing? What are we going to be doing this week that reflects the words of Jesus? Amen.